The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
Well, we made it to a Friday. We did. A lot of people in Ukraine didn't. And it's all because of one man who should not still be walking the planet. But, you know, it's not up to me. Welcome to the Friday show. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com. Also streaming on the Progressive Voices Network, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, and other stations like AirProgressive.org and Netroots Radio. And, I don't name them because I always forget somebody and then I feel bad. But however you, and then podcast, however you listen, I appreciate you listening. And, well, I've had a day. Let me tell you about my day. So yesterday, I told you, you know, I've been in communication with Tatiana, who owns, she and her husband own the Friends Forever Hostel, a hotel, inexpensive hotel in the middle of Kyiv. And we've been communicating since, I think, the second day after the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And we've been communicating via the Telegram app. And yesterday I told you that I was concerned because it was it was almost 24 hours that I didn't hear from her. And I get worried. Well, today we began exchanging messages quite early, actually, because I awoke this morning to the news that Putin, you know, he had been bombing certain areas of Ukraine, in order to, I guess, do his strategy of taking all the coastal regions of at the Black Sea and connecting, you know, the territory so that he has an uninterrupted area in his quest to take over all of Ukraine. Well, there were some parts of the country in the western regions and the middle of the nation that had been quiet, that had been left alone. And in fact, I told you that that's where Tatiana and her husband and some other people had gone, that they went to, as she described it, this remote, tiny village that hadn't been hit. Well, sure enough, you know, I had asked her back then a few days ago, please send me a map so I know where you are so I can keep an eye out for you. And she did. And sure enough, I woke up this morning to find that Putin had bombed some areas that he had not before gone into. And so sure enough, this morning, let me see if I can't. Okay. Oh, I went too far. So I said, good morning from Florida. The news this morning is concerning. It appears Putin is bombing different regions of Ukraine, and one site seems to be near where you are. I just, and then I, she had mentioned a few days ago that this other app called Viber, and that there's a news, a breaking news group that she could subscribe me to. So I said, I just downloaded Viber. You mentioned adding me to your breaking news group. Please do. I'm thinking of you, wishing I could airlift you and all of your friends out of there. And she quickly added me to this news group. And then she said, hello. Yes, we had an air raid alert today. 1 hour, 30 minutes. We are moving to the city. And then she said, the owner of the house has arrived. And I think that's where they're staying now. So full of things and clean our new house. I'm not quite sure what that means. And I said, which city? You have a place already to stay? Please stay safe. And she sent me another map. She said, we are still in the Ternopil region. And I guess that's where they're staying, but there's no place safe anymore. So, you know, we chatted back and forth as we do. I was telling her about, you know, the debate over here that's growing between people like me who want our government, NATO, the world to do something about this madman, because we can't just sit back and let this continue. And she said, I fully support you, but how to get through to those people who make this decision? And I said, we just keep speaking out, right? And she said, and I told her, because so many of you contact me and say, please tell Tatiana that she's in our thoughts, our prayers, for those of you who pray, that, you know, we're thinking about her. And her response to that is, I am grateful to every person, every bright soul who knows how to experience empathy. Let's believe in success together. Let's pray together. Okay, so that was 7 o'clock this morning. Right? At 11:14, I get a message from her, and it says, today I received a call to the Friends Forever hostile phone number. The man asks, are you alive? I say, yes. He answers, I hope you all die very soon. And then she sent me the screenshot from her phone, her cell phone, that had a phone number on it. And the call came from New York, right? It's a 929 number. In fact, the number is 929-841-4806. Guy who called her didn't block his number, so I guess it's okay to share it with the world. So, you know me. I saw that and I started shaking. I got so angry. I mean, angry. And I said, oh my God, people are so fucked up. I'm going to report that phone number or dox it. If that's okay with you, I'm going to expose that person. And she said, yes, please, I'll be glad. So first thing I did was I called the number. Oh, you know what? I recorded the calls. Let me see if I can find, I don't know if I saved it. This must be it. Here, you'll get a little taste of my exchange with this this terrorist. Let's see if I can do it this. Let's see. I think this is it. Yep. Here we go. Again, I just recorded raw audio.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who is this?
Steven, hello.
Yeah, you Steven. Called to Ukraine a few minutes ago, and you asked the person who answered if she's still alive. Who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Who are
I
you?
I really hope you fucking die.
I hope you fucking die. What is your fucking problem? And it went downhill from there. I'm not going to, you know, you can use your imagination. So, I hung up, and I'm literally, physically shaking. And then I get another message from Tatiana, and she says, oh, my dear, he just called, hysterically yelling. My husband picked up the phone and just teased him, repeating every word like a small child. He was screaming like a sick man. Thank you so much. You're my great protector. So as I said to her, now I explained to her, and now I'll tell you, I called him once, and he's been calling me back. I recorded the call, and I put his number out on Twitter and Facebook. Hopefully, he's getting lots of calls of a taste of his own medicine. He is a sick man. I told him to get out of my country, and he started yelling about him not wanting to be here. He's really sick. Let's see. Everyone will soon have his phone numbers, and my listeners will likely call him. And she wrote back, it even cheered me up a little morally. Everything in this life has a cycle. He will no longer want to call and insult strangers, especially girls. And I said, well, I'm not done with him yet. I want to find out who he is and where he lives and have someone scare the crap out of him. Apparently, the number is a landline. And it was. See, let me tell you something. There's a service that I've used before. There are reverse phone books. Now, it used to be they were free. Now you have to pay for them. But they all have these trial periods. So I got a 5-day trial account with one of these. I think it's the White Pages. For $1, and put in all the information. And sure enough, they told me who he is. And his name is, let me find it. His name is Stephen Ramlakhan. RamLackHan. He lives at 388 Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn. So not only did I pass that information to Tatiana, I also called at the suggestion of somebody. Oh, I've already called him. I'm not calling him again. I called the mayor's office. New York City mayor's office has an office of international affairs. Called there, spoke to a nice woman who said, well, we can't really do anything. You should call the police. And she gave me the NYPD hate crimes task force number. So I called there. Well, since I'm not in New York and Tatiana's not in New York, she couldn't do anything. She said, are you going to be in New York anytime soon? I said, no. She's like, well, yeah, there's nothing we can do. And you have to file a report in person. I'm like, great. I think I need to call the FBI. So she said, yeah, that's not a bad idea. So I hung up, called the FBI, and spoke to somebody who said to me, and this, you know what? This sucks, but I've heard this before. Did he actually threaten anybody? And the you know, what Tatiana told me he said is, I hope you all die soon. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you soon. And he might have said that to me, but no, I don't think he physically threatened me. So they said basically the same thing. It's not a direct threat. It's kind of a First Amendment right. He can voice his opinion. And he said, but if you want to give me his information, at least we'll have a record of it. So the FBI now knows who he is. You know who he is. I'm still shaking. And Tatiana, I got to tell you. So she said, when I wrote back to her with his name and address, she said, I'm shocked. You're just Sherlock Holmes. And I wrote back, I said, and people have already reported back to me that they're calling him and telling me we know who he is and where he lives. He seems sufficiently freaked out right now, I said. And she said, in all my life, when I have not been so protected, I feel like a child of the world. Thanks to you, my dear. And then she said, my younger sister now lives in Dubai. I told her our story with you. My sister asked for the address of the person. She called him and asked Stephen to the phone and said, if you call my family again, I will send all the bums of Brooklyn to the address. And then she gave him the address. So I think Stephen's probably a little freaked out. I would have been happier if the NYPD knocked on his door and said, what the fuck, buddy? I did correct the person at the NYPD, and she said, well, the gentleman doesn't seem to have done it. I said, excuse me, he's not a gentleman. And she's like, oh, you're right. I said, yeah, you need to, you know, take care to who you use that word to describe. He's no gentleman. So anyway, that happened today. It's all I can do. I mean, what else am I going to do? So now, you know, I'm thinking, watch it backfire on me, because when I reported to the FBI, the first thing they ask you is your name, your address, your phone number. And I gave it all to them. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just trying to help a friend who is being bombed into oblivion by Vladimir Putin. Just astounding. So anyway, coming up later in the show, because I think we need it, we're going to talk to somebody who's funny. He's a comedian. I don't know him. I just know that he is a regular on John Fugelsang's show on Sirius XM and a few other people. So he's got good references. We'll see. It takes a real talent to be able to make me laugh in times like these. So before we get to that, though, I want to share with you somebody else that I met in my travels on the Twitters this morning. He saw my posts about Tatiana, and he reached out to me. And basically what he told me is that his goal, what he's doing, is working to debunk the disinformation campaign, the propaganda campaign that Russia is propagating. So he's in Austria, and I reached out to him, and it's very late over there now. So we taped this about 2 hours ago. Here we go. Here we go. Ah. Hold on.
Name correctly.
Oh.
Okay, this is not working. All right. I know
you responded.
Why is that not working? Oh, I know why it's not working. Hold on. Let me do this, and now it'll work. Now it'll work. I think.
You are a disinformation analyst. You're fighting back against Russian disinformation against Ukraine. In what capacity? I see you.
No.
You
know what? It's still echoing. I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. We've got the echo thing going on, and I don't know why it shouldn't. And now, I'm trying something new with the audio, so I don't have this issue anymore. Why is this not working now? Shit. All right. Hold on. Man, oh man. All right. What if I do it this way? Now we have audio. Okay. Sorry. I tried something new and it didn't work. I'll tell you what. I want to play that for you, but there was echo. I'm going to try it one more time because that should have worked. Let me just see what happens here. Fingers crossed. Hold on. Oh, man. You know what? That's not going to work. Is it? We'll see.
Brings you to this. What makes you do this?
Nope. All right. So in that case, I'm going to have to play the interview for you in a different way. I can do that. So did I pull it? You know what? I may have to save it for next week. I'm sorry. I'll just tell you. He debunked best laid plans and all that stuff. Oh, my God. So let me tell you a little bit about this man, Dietmar Pichler. He's in Australia. In Austria. Oh, my God. Can you tell it's Friday? I so need a weekend, and we're going to have one in a little while. So I spoke to Dietmar, and let me pull up his Twitter feed for you, because I'll share with you exactly what, you know, I had him talk to us about, and I'll post the interview. I'll tell you that on the blog with today's show. I'll do it that way. But he said, journalists interested in Russian disinformation and current international attempts by citizens from Ukraine to counter it, please message me. And so he's willing to talk. So the points that he wanted to make, he had a little thread here and I'll just share it with you. He wrote that, one, there was never a civil war or ethnic conflict in Ukraine. It just is not true. There is none of that going on. Two, there was never any kind of Russian language ban. Many people in Ukraine speak Russian. They speak Ukrainian and Russian. And I was telling him, it's like when I went to Kazakhstan. You know, they have the Kazakh language. And a lot of people speak Kazakh, but many of them speak Russian. Same deal in Ukraine. The people there don't have a problem with people speaking Russian. In fact, the president, Volodymyr Zelensky, is from the east of Ukraine, where they do speak Russian. And that's his first language, Russian. And in fact, when he ran for president, he had to bone up on his Ukrainian because it was not his first language. So this meme, this narrative that there was a ban on speaking Russian, it's bullshit. It's just not true. Number three, the founders of the separatist republics were Russian nationalists from Moscow, not coal miners from Donbass. And he expounded on that as well. They bust in people to pretend they were the separatists living in that region. The Russians did this. They orchestrated the whole thing. He says, if you host a panel discussion, correct your guests if they use these false narratives made up by the Kremlin. Ukraine has never waged war against its own people. That's a fact. Russian people speaking, Russian-speaking Ukrainians do not equal separatists. They also love their country. And then he wrote, Putin's war against Ukraine is not about NATO. It's because he does not allow his neighbors to have a free, democratic, and European future, and he wants to restore the so-called Russian Empire. He continues. He says Ukraine was non-aligned in 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea and attacked Donbass. This is why the idea of joining NATO became popular. And then he finished by saying it's not a big country. It's not a big country attacking a similar, smaller country. It's a dictatorship attacking the free, democratic, and European country. We need to push back on the narratives. We need to push back on the bullshit, that the lies that Putin is feeding, the same way that Trump feeds lies over here. And you still hear it. You still hear it from virtually every Republican. And it's just shameful. Absolutely shameful. So I've got a few extra minutes because the interview I couldn't play. I know. I could have played it a different way, but that's all right. I want to play a couple of pieces of audio that I pulled for you anyway. So, you know, those of you who've been with me for a long time remember a man named Joel Silberman. Joel was a dear friend who I adored, and sadly, we lost him to pancreatic cancer. I still... Okay, but Joel used to do a weekly segment on this program. We used to cut through the media bullshit with Joel. And Joel, one of his many talents was he coached people. He coached politicians and candidates and activists and business people, but mostly politicians, in how to talk, how to do interviews, how to create that sound bite that can go viral, how to comport yourself in interviews, how to be in public on the public stage. And I miss him especially today because I wish he were around to coach Kamala Harris. She's a horrible habit of saying something and then laughing at it. People who laugh at their own jokes, there's a special place in hell for them. And she laughs at things that aren't funny, as she did today. So there she is. She is up there on the stage with the president of Poland. And a reporter asked this question, and listen to her response.
Ask you about some reporting that my colleague here in Poland noticed. He recently spoke with the mayor of the largest border town, who told him that the refugee system is essentially not set up for this, that it will collapse. It's an improvised system that can work for maybe 2 weeks, but not indefinitely. And I'm wondering what the United States is going to do more specifically to set up a permanent infrastructure. And relatedly, is the United States willing to make a specific allocation for Ukrainian refugees? And for President Duda, I wanted to know if you think, and if you asked the United States to specifically accept more refugees.
Listen to her here.
Okay.
What's funny?
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
Really? I'm sorry. Vice President Harris, that was wholly inappropriate. There's a time for laughter and a time not to laugh. What she's dealing with right now is not funny. It's just not fucking funny. And I get that it's nerves, but wow, she needs someone to train her. Otherwise, we're really screwed in 2024 and beyond. So there's that. I just had to get it out. I do want to play. This is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations who's calling out Putin.
One of America's top diplomats is among those accusing Russia of war crimes.
They constitute war crimes. They are attacks on civilians that cannot be justified by any in any way whatsoever.
While in Poland, Vice President Harris backed calls for an investigation.
Absolutely, there should be an investigation, and we should all be watching.
The trip follows a disconnect over Poland's plan.
Yeah, so good for her. That's the UN, U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Now I want to play for you President Zelensky responding to the Russian propaganda. That's why I recorded this interview with this man in Austria. But here Volodymyr Zelensky is saying, don't buy the bullshit. Come on. I know it's here somewhere. Come on. Is it here? Why is it not playing? Come on. Okay. No. All right. Let me try it like this. Will this work? No, it seems like it doesn't want to work. Hold on. Let's see if I have it. I'm just having all kinds of problems today, aren't I? Okay. Here's Zelensky about with the propaganda pushback.
За своє право жити. Самі приходять к нам на танках і з ракетами, забирають чужое, наше, захватують.
Okay.
Вони вже стидяться показати своїм офіцерам, прячуть своїх генералів.
He's pissed. I thought this one was the one that had the translation, but I guess not. Hmm. Is it on this one? Let's see. And that's not working either. All right, I'm just batting 1,000 today. Here's what I'm going to play for you. Senator Angus King, because this is going to come in handy for you when you're out and about this weekend, because so many people are, well, look, we're all cringing at the gas pump. Well, Angus King, Senator Angus King, explains it all. The president does not set the gas price.
Why has the price of gasoline gone up? Why did it start going up about the same time that Joe Biden became president? Was it because of the cancellation of the Keystone Pipeline? No. Most of the oil going through the Keystone Pipeline was scheduled to be exported. So I don't think that was it. Was it a pause in leases that wouldn't have produced oil for 3 or 4 years? No. There's something like 8,000 leases that are currently in place that aren't being drilled upon. So I don't think that did it. You know what caused gas prices to go up? The extraordinary recovery that the economy went through starting in early 2021.
Ah, interesting.
After Joe Biden became president. One of the quickest recoveries in our history from a recession. If you look back to the recession of 2007 and 8, you see a slow, I call it a lazy U. You see a downward of the recession, and then jobs and the economy came back very slowly. Over 5, 6, 7 years, the recession recovery from 2021 from the pandemic recession is a V. And we recovered virtually all the jobs that were lost during the pandemic in the last 14 months. GDP has grown as fast as it has in our history. We have the economy came back enormously rapidly, and oil was down in 2019 and 2020 because of the pandemic. Demand collapsed. This is economics 101. Demand collapsed. The price of oil collapsed. And then the recovery came and the demand increased, but the production didn't increase. And let's talk a bit about oil in the United States.
Yeah, let's.
In 2021, half of the oil produced in the United States was exported.
Huh.
Did that do anything for our consumers? Did that do anything for the people that were paying higher and higher rates for gas? Mm-hmm. The White House doesn't set gas prices. Presidents are always blamed for gas prices. I've never heard one given credit when gas prices are low.
True.
But the truth is, the price of gas depends upon the price of oil, and the price of oil depends upon the world market, and the price of oil in the world market depends upon supply and demand.
Depends upon supply and demand. You know, that's just common sense. And funny, when they were, you know, the Republicans are in power, they don't, you notice when the gas price goes up, they don't say anything. Well, it's not the president. The president doesn't set the price of oil. Period. Supply and demand does. During the pandemic, do you remember there was like a week-long period in there where the cost of a barrel of oil was in the negatives? It was, they couldn't give it away because nobody wanted to store it. And production slowed down because nobody was buying it because everyone was staying home because of fucking COVID-19. So supply and demand. Price went down. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's out. Production was cut during the pandemic. Now there's less of a supply. People want it. And then, you know, some powers will purposely slow down the production so that the price goes up. That's where we are now. Not us. And so you could tell your friends and the idiots putting the stickers on the gas pumps, that's not how it works. Remember the commercials with the woman going, "It's on my wall." That's not how it works. God, we're stupid people. This country. This is what happens when you cut education budgets. This is what happens when you put Betsy DeVos in as the Secretary of Education. Education becomes less and less important, and a country gets dumbed down, and that's where we are. Okay, now that I'm sufficiently pissed, comes the challenging part. Because as I said, I'm in a mood today. It started off with this asshole in New York calling my friend in Ukraine and asking, are you alive? Are you still alive? And she said, yes. And he says, good. I hope you all die soon. That's what set me off this morning. And that's why I'm in a mood. So it's the challenge of the comedian to try to make me laugh. Sorry, John Poveromo didn't know that that was going to be his challenge today. So if you accept it, John, welcome to the show.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. Here, I got to tell you, that is not the worst intro. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, my friend was threatened with death today. Anyway, yeah. Here's the comic
right.
for the night.
Well, you know, you missed the first part of the show because I told the story about how she texted me. You know what? I'm going to change our shot here. Because you're looking off the screen, and it's kind of disconcerting. So I'm just going to move us around because I feel like you're looking away from me. And so I'm going to fix it. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything.
Sweet. I'll just stay right here.
Just stay right there, and I do this. And look at that, like magic.
Oh, right? That is really high tech.
Thank you.
I like
that a lot. Cool. So at least something worked today because everything else, the gremlins have attacked, and they're not working. So anyway, I met this woman. Tatiana is her name. When I called to Ukraine just a couple of days after Putin invaded, because I always like to reach out and touch someone. I like the human-to-human connection. I'd like to know that I can't handle worrying about the 40 million people of Ukraine, but I can one person. And so I met Tatiana. She and her husband own a hostel in the middle of Kyiv. What got the reviews of the highest rated hostel, and it was called Friends Forever. So I thought that's the perfect place to call. And sure enough, she speaks English. A couple of days later, they left, but we've been communicating on Telegram. And today she shared with me, she's like, you're not going to believe, somebody just called the phone number for the hostel, and I answered it, and he said, are you alive? And she said, yes. And he said, I hope you all die very soon. That's the direct quote. And then she sent me the screenshot from her phone that shows the number clearly in New York City. And to the person who just sent me an email a few minutes ago who said, please repeat the phone number because I was in the car and I couldn't write it down. It's 929-841-4806. And his name, his name, because I utilize something known as the reverse lookup. They're everywhere, and they actually work. And it cost all of a dollar. And now we know his name is Stephen Ramlakhan, Ramlakhan. And since he didn't block his number, and by the way, the police and the FBI all know his name and address now as well and know what he did, because I was pissed. You know, there's not much I can do to stop the war, but if someone's going to fuck with my friend over there, she's already, you know, running for her life, then the mama bear in me comes out. So anyway, John Poveromo, it's so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you too. I love that fiery attitude though. You know, I got a neighbor whose alarm won't stop going off. You can get the FBI on them. That'd be great. I would really love that reverse lookup shit.
Yeah. The problem is, as the FBI told me, did he directly threaten anybody? No, he said, I hope you all die soon. He said,
how do you even get the FBI on the phone? Is that easy? How did you do that?
1-800 like FBI or something. It's that easy. Seriously. I mean,
I
looked it up.
It's the same as the Apple number. It's just Apple controls everything anyway. It's the same thing.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you. Call the FBI. It really is that simple.
Wow.
It is 1-800 call FBI. I knew it was something like that. Yeah. And so there you go. It's that easy.
I can't believe the craziest thing is like that somebody is that. Like, first of all, dude, that's what Twitter's for. You don't call people directly. You air your grievances like every other lunatic in the United States. You do it on Twitter. You come up with a clever hashtag. You hope somebody famous sees it, shoots it off. You know?
Right.
You know, you're not special. You don't get to call people directly and threaten them.
Right. And how dare he? So, you know, and somebody asked me on Twitter, how did he find her? And I said, the same way I did. You know, if you go looking for hotels in Kyiv, which is what I usually call, because in whatever country you're calling, when you call a hotel, someone's going to speak English. And so that's right. That's why I call hotels. And so he did the same thing I did. He just pulled up a Kyiv, you know, directory and got her number and called her because he's a piece of shit. Oh, you should have heard the conversations we had because, you know, I called him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What a fucking monster.
Right? Oh, it gets better. But I don't want to waste all this time on him. I already talked about him. It's out there. Now, you know, Twitterverse or blogosphere or interwebs, do your thing.
They'll get him.
Go get him. Yep, I'm done. Okay, so John, you, I came to know of you because you are a regular guest on a friend's show, my friend John Fugelsang, who does a nightly show on Sirius XM. And so you appear with him regularly. Do you know John well?
Love John. Yeah, we've gotten to know each other really well. I've been on the show for a few years now, and then I've just been doing it more frequently, and we're going to go out and do some stand-up together and stuff, so it's going to be great.
Very nice. And then I saw you did an interview. You both interviewed each other on your respective podcasts, Rhett Miller from Old 97s.
Yes, that, oh my God, that was so much fun. I've been a huge fan of Rhett's forever, and then we started following each other on social media. And then we talked a couple times through there, but then I think my manager wound up reaching out because, you know, you want people on your show. I have like a list of people that I love, and I'm like, we got to try to get these people. And my manager reached out to him, and then he was like, yeah, I'd love to do it. Would John love to do my show? And I was like, absolutely. So we wound up having a blast on each other's shows.
Cool. Well, I know him back from, you know, my days. I used to do music radio in Los Angeles. So that's, I used to play his music on the radio. I didn't even
He's
know
such
he was
a great
doing
guy.
This. He really is. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish the Old 97s or the Ranchero Brothers or Rhett Miller solo would have cut through bigger because he's talented too. But it sounds like he's doing well.
It is. He's doing well. And we were talking a little bit about that kind of stuff because I was stunned. I didn't realize he had never, he told me on my show that he never really had a hit.
Yeah,
and I was like, no way. And then I listed a couple songs I know. He's like, you know them. he's like, but they were never hits. And I had no idea because he had a couple songs on Scrubs, too, which is where.
That makes sense.
And I was, and that show was usually like a good, you know, launching pad for some musicians, too, because they use those songs so well.
Sure. And that's an avenue for artists now to get their music out there because radio sucks these days.
Yeah.
And the only place is creative placement in TV and movies and commercials. So
yeah, I interviewed a band called Roses and Revolutions. They're a great band. And, they've gotten some of their music on, you know, like the CW shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they figured, I mean, one way that started happening was, I guess they found out that the industry Googles like they don't like listen to music. They don't do a song. They just look for music with specific scenes in mind. So they're like washing the dishes. And then if there's literally a song titled that, they just fucking throw it in there and they use it. Uh-huh. And that's what they were like. They didn't even, because they had used one of their songs that had nothing to do with the scene. And they were just like, why would they pick this? And they're like, oh, because they're running in the rain. And our song is called, you know what I mean? So right. It's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
it's
crazy. Not all music supervisors are like that. The ones that I know were about the music and finding the right song for the scene. But, you know, people always take the easy way out, don't they?
Absolutely.
When possible, right? Take the easy route. So, John Poveromo, you do a podcast. It's called Dystopia Tonight.
Yes.
Makes sense to me. But have we been dystopic for so long?
Yeah, I think we have. Anytime I think about a dystopia, I'm like, you know, I've described it in many different ways, but I'm always like, oh yeah, any kind of recession, fires all over the country, you know, tornadoes. I'm in New Jersey. We got tornadoes here now, which we never had when I was a kid. Climate change is hitting us. Somebody's trying to blow us up constantly. And then we had a worldwide global pandemic.
Yeah, we
did. If you put all those, I mean, and they're back to back. So that was one of the things I had noticed. And the other thing was it's dystopia and dystopic are tossed around in media and news and all that other shit a lot. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't have the same impact after you heard it over and over again, but I was like, I'm going to jump on this and call my show Dystopia Tonight. And and it's been going really well.
You know, there's a guy, I'm in South Florida, unfortunately, but there's a guy who used to write, he was an op-ed writer. He did, there was like a point counterpoint thing on the editorial page with a right winger and this guy, Stephen Goldstein, who was a liberal. And he used to come on the air with me a lot. You know, and I stopped hearing from him a few years ago. And I finally determined that he died, you know, that's right. But before he died, sorry, I know I'm just a bundle of laughs today. He wrote a book. He wrote a few books. Like, one was The Dictionary of American Political Bullshit, but one was called Atlas Drugged. And it was the sequel to Atlas Shrugged, but it was, you know, it was just what you would think it would be, in a very dystopian, futuristic kind of thing. And, you know, I wanted to talk to him after Trump got into office, because it's what he predicted in this book. I mean, I guess good for him. He died before Trump took office.
Him and the Simpsons.
Right? So, yeah, to Simpsons, they knew it. They called it. How weird is it when the Simpsons...
What's crazy about it is that's what comedians... I mean, like, I've been in writer's rooms before, and the job is to think of the most absurd outcome you possibly can. And then the minute you realize you're actually living in it, in that reality, it becomes really... I mean, nobody's, you know, nobody's clairvoyant, but it is really funny when you're like, God, what's the funniest thing we could do? What's the worst outcome we could possibly think of comedically for the country, for this person, for this guy, whatever it is? Eventually it just happens.
Right. Well, and so, you know, when you, if you step back, if you were Rip Van Winkle and you fell asleep for 20 years and you woke up and you were told that Donald Trump was president, you'd say, okay, you know, I'm going to go back to sleep. Or seriously, dude, what the fuck? And, and when you finally learned that it was true, what conclusion do you come to?
It was definitely weird, because it was one of those situations where I know it was tossed around a lot, but it was like, you know, it was basically like the series finale of America is one way to, you know, put it. And I know people have put it that way before, but it was just like that. Like, you know, we're watching this show for 8 years. They kill off the favorite black character we had and then replace him with a used condom filled with Sunny Delight. You know what I mean? And we were like, no one saw that coming. You know?
It made me laugh.
Like,
yes.
Are you serious? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is, it's that level of absurdity, and it didn't feel real for a bit. You know, we were like, no, something's going to happen. And then, you know, nothing happened. It was just it. We had to endure it.
Right. And I still, but this, you know, I have a theory of what we're going through, and Trump fits under it, but this predates Trump. It's the tendency for the people on the right, the American political right, who are wrong, but right is how we describe them, to make shit up. So I guess it started really in a big way with Fox. That Fox and news can be put together. I can't say them together. If I have to identify, I'll say something like Fox not news, because I think that's more accurate. And I do point out all the time that Fox could not call itself news if it were an over-the-air television station instead of a cable channel. Because the FCC says you can't call yourselves news if you're not. Then they'd have to run something like this, or okay, like this.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
You know, and I offered it to them free of charge, but they didn't respond. But so I think, you know, Trump has always been a liar, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's weird when you see the similarities between what he's done, what he did for the 4 years he was in office, and now what Putin is doing, just making shit up and lying about it. And sadly, people in Ukraine who are living through or being firebombed are calling their family members who are saying, that's not happening. They don't believe them.
Yeah, Trump definitely had the dictator's playbook for a long time. I mean, it was no secret who he admired and who he expressed he admired. The craziest thing is like, you know, in a certain sense, I understand Republicans' confusion about which side to kind of support, because, you know, I mean, they're not used to a people defending a capital as opposed to attacking it. Right. So they're very, it's an easy mistake to make. They're like, who do I go with here? The other thing is too, I mean, there's a lot of shit we all say about Trump and how horrible it was, but I don't want to leave out the media and what they capitalized on this country's downward spiral by making constant clickbait and abusing people's emotions and feelings during that whole time too. Like, there was a lot of shit that Trump obviously lied about and got wrong. But the thing that I find hilarious is that he did not get the media wrong. He has been manipulating them since he was a game show host, since he was part of Trump, you know, that whole thing. He used to pretend to be his own agent.
John,
that's
what
how
was his
dumb.
Name? Right. He would call his own publicist. He would call to plant stories about Donald Trump. His name was John something or other. I can't remember.
Yes. Right. Yeah, John something. And that's the craziest thing is like this guy, I mean, for all the lies he must have told, it must have been infuriating for him to be telling the truth about the media and having people go, we trust this guy's fucking bullshit. And he's like, no, guys, seriously, though, I know I've lied a lot, but this one particular area, you know what I mean? But I'm not like sympathizing with him either. But it is kind of funny because the media is really fucking dumb.
But not like, all of the media. And see, that's the problem.
But, I mean, like, no. But that, you're right. Not all of it. But it's one of those situations where, you know, it's like if you work at a factory and 150 people are fucking up, but two are doing well, do you say not all of them or do you go, all right, I've got a problem here? And that is the problem with the media. It's constant misinformation on. And I don't even like saying the both sides thing because I think it's asinine because media isn't, you know, necessarily.
It's not supposed to be.
Yeah, but it is very much like, you know, even during the Trump administration, our side of the aisle fucked up in ways that was like because we really wanted to get him. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to. And the thing that made me so frustrated, and I think the thing that made people even on the right or Trump supporters somewhat disillusioned with the fact that they might be wrong is we were constantly talking like, we got him. This is the one. He's going down for this. And then,
then he escapes.
Obviously, the way our political system works, it's not even that he escaped. It's that Democrats don't want to fucking really do anything about this shit because they're all implicit to some extent. You know what I mean? I will always vote for Democrats over Republicans because it's better to, have.
You'll vote for the lesser of two evils because the other side is truly evil and you're going to vote for who's ever going to be less bad.
Right. But which shouldn't have even been a choice because when I think about it, like look at it this way. I know there's staunch Hillary supporters. I'm not one of them.
No.
I voted for her. Absolutely. Cause I'm not a horrible human being, mm-hmm. But there was, people who don't pay attention to politics and then want to dabble in it bother me because what they did to Bernie Sanders was a it really is
horrible.
Because it's like, they did the Bernie bro thing to him. Right. Ugh. But if you look at when she ran against Obama back in the day, they had her supporters with signs that said Obama boys.
Yep.
It was very much men versus women that Hillary instituted. She did that. And then, I get that's part of the game, but I feel like the media, their responsibility is to be outside of that game and go, these are the two contrasting issues, but they're so drenched in capitalism and all the whole market thing. It's insane. You know what I mean? Like you don't get the clarity that you need.
Right.
So that bums me out. Trump is definitely horrible. It was a stain on American, society, culture, our relationships around the world, but our media failed us too.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, but here's the danger with that. So when you talk about the media as a monolith, we're saying, look, the Fourth Estate is so important to any democracy. You need a free press to hold the bastards accountable, right? So there's a problem, though, because now I have a problem with mainstream corporate media, too. Mm-hmm. MSNBC pisses me off no end, but they're not Fox. And they're not making shit up.
Right.
And they're not pushing propaganda. They may come from a left perspective or now in these days from a never Trumper perspective because MSNBC is now the home of the never Trumpers. So it's Republican.
Yeah, they're centrists and they're feckless and they're, I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? It becomes more of a job on the people, a responsibility of the people watching that shit to kind of delineate between different things. And I'll tell you something that CNN and MSNBC did. I think it was, I can't remember which one it was exactly, but on the bottom when Bernie was leading, they literally had on the scroll, COVID-19 and Bernie Sanders can either be stopped.
Oh God. Yes. Yeah,
and it was like, but I mean, again, I'm not going to harp on that too much, but it is one of those things where you have to just be, aware, even look at the COVID situation and stuff that's going on now, I sift through stuff. I read everything. I don't think it's not over. It's not done.
It's not over.
I have friends who are scientists.
Not over.
But according to the media.
Yeah. They want it to be over. Look, they want the horse race. That's why it's all clickbait. It's all about ratings. I had this conversation the other day with Brian Karam. Do you know Brian Karam?
I don't know him, but I don't know him personally.
You should have him on your show. He's got a great new book out.
What's it
something
called?
The press. It's oh shit, and it's in the other room.
I did
room.
See it.
Yeah, it's really good. So you should have him on. Something that not meet the press, not defeat the press, but something the press. Anyway,
beat the press. No,
beat the press. No. press the meat. Something like that. But he was on just the other day, and we were talking about the fact that. That I lost my train of thought. Oh, it's so Friday. It is so Friday. What, Brian?
You're checked out. It's fine.
I'm ready for the weekend. I've got 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
And,
man, look at that.
This has been a hell of a week. But anyway, he's great. And he talks about the bullshit in the media. What? It's called Free the Press. There it is.
Oh,
Free
nice.
The Press.
Oh, beautiful.
My husband
look
saves
at you.
The day.
That's, that is great.
My husband.
Nice book. Yeah.
I still
great
can't
book.
Remember what the point I was going to make, but it was a good point to be made about.
You can fix it in post. You can say it, and then I'll just do this. Ready?
Okay.
Hey. There you go.
And my listeners know I don't do that because if you know I do it. This is the reason I do it live. Do it live, damn it! Do you remember Bill O'Reilly? Do it live.
Yes. Do it live. Do it live. God damn it! On. That was his best moment.
I think we need to hear it.
Ready?
Ready.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
It's been a while since we heard from Bill.
Yeah.
The
video.
Yeah.
The video.
Okay, this was too long. Let's go to the other one.
No. Well, do it live. Fuck it.
There you go.
Do it live.
Do it live.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. thing sucks.
Fucking thing sucks. Yeah.
I can't believe his marriage didn't work out. Such a shock.
Yeah. You know, I saw him one day. Years ago, we were down at Joe's Stone Crab in Miami. We just had a lovely dinner and we go out Ooh. To go to the car. And I see this very tall man by the valet. And I said to my husband, that guy looks like Bill O'Reilly. And he said, it is Bill O'Reilly. And I'm like, oh, I need to say something to him. He grabbed me. He's like, no, you don't.
Oh, that's no. great. Yeah, that would have been so good.
I know. But see, I tend to speak first and think later. And it wouldn't have been a good thing. So it's good that I did. Anyway, do it live. Can you tell? It is Friday. 9 minutes to go. I'm not usually this scattered. This has just been a fucked up week. We're seeing this war, this yeah. madman. And stay with me here. If Donald Trump were somehow still in office, do you have any doubt what he would have done in this situation?
Oh, my God. No, we would have been dead. It's over.
We would have been on Putin's side. Because think about it. He did this with Syria. Remember our allies, the Kurds? Yeah. Our yeah. allies, the Kurds. He said, Erdogan, you want them?
We would have been sending him support.
We would have been sending him support.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't get how people don't understand this. And then you got Fucker Carlson over on Fox, who, yeah. You know, on one hand, he's spouting all this pro-Putin stuff. And then he's like, I didn't say anything about being for Putin.
Right.
And yet he's got the number one
it's
show
very
on
childlike
cable.
Behavior. How yeah, it's very childlike. I never said it specifically. I didn't really push him. I nudged him.
Yeah. And yet yeah, people fall for it. And that's what's really frightening is the gullibility of the American public, as I was saying when you came on.
Oh, yeah.
How did we get so dumbed down? And I do think it's because of the way the Republicans value or don't education.
Yeah, that too. But also social media has a really strong look. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's the difference between having people who kind of have those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding other people through social media who also have those things. Because there's, you know, we think about it, think about your family, think about relatives and shit like that. There's always a couple outliers who were like kind of dumb, you know what I mean? And they had like really weird opinions, but then you'd all be in a family setting and you'd be like, shut the fuck, you know, yeah. they get ridiculed out of their dumbness. You know what I mean? And they felt isolated. These people no longer feel isolated. You can go on a group on Facebook and you can find 1,000 people to storm Area 51 with because they're all in Battlestar Galactica gear and they want to find Alf and they get to just go fuck off and do that. You know, so you don't have anybody going like, hey, you need to check your bullshit. You can be like, no, this is my bullshit's right. I feel like it's right. And here's a group of 1,500 people who also think the same thing. And it's social media. That's what it is. You can find... If people don't like wearing masks anymore and they're uncomfortable wearing masks, you can have people in your life going, look, like, I know it's uncomfortable, it fucking sucks, but this is the reasons why we need to do it. Or they can go to the internet and find a meme that makes them feel better about not being a piece of shit, which some people just need to be told, you're a fucking piece of shit. And we'd like you to change because we kind of like having you around and you're pretty good at Mario Kart. So that's, you got that going for you. But I don't want to hear your fucking views on science. You know, like that's the thing. And it doesn't end. It doesn't, you know, and it's never going to.
No,
this is our, do you know that the UN, the environmental part of the UN, I can't think of what the fuck it's actually called, said that people are going to have to start getting used to living with fire.
Oh God. That well, like there. COVID and fire now.
That's what I mean. But that's the same approach we took to COVID. It's the same approach we're taking to, like, every, you know, everything is a microcosm of something else. That whole, we need to get used to living with fire, is the same as constantly bringing in these moguls to Congress to go, what are you going to do about Instagram and Facebook? And they're like, I guess change the name to Meta so we have less responsibility, you know? So like, It's we're just going to have to get used to the fact that we live in a world where everybody, I have less in common with people now than I ever did when I was younger. I have less in common with my family now than I did, you know, because that shit just never goes away. Everything's constantly reinforced and you're like, oh fuck, I guess, you know, this is just going to have to be the way we live. And it sucks.
And it does suck.
I'm ready for the comet in Don't Look Up.
Oh yeah. And it's coming. It is coming, and we're just not looking up because we don't. And the thing is, you know, the internet, you brought it up. It's not only social media, but that's a big part of it. It brought these people together. And when COVID hit and people were then shut in and couldn't go outside and they'd spend hours and hours and hours combing the depths of the internet and social media, they gather. These crazies are all like magnets. They're drawn to one another. And that's what gave us, you know, all this insanity, because they're around the world and they're able to connect where they never would have met before.
Also, we're not seeing any real justice taking place anymore either. That's the other thing too. Like the wall, like Trump did one thing that was destructive, but also somewhat beneficial. Maybe we haven't seen the necessary benefits of it yet, is that he tore down a big fucking curtain as far as how government really operates, what rules we really do play by and don't play by. Everything is somewhat arbitrary. And then COVID did it even more, because, you know, they were just throwing out money during COVID. I mean, to, you know, to keep businesses alive, to keep, you know, people, not as much, not near enough to keep regular people just afloat and their small businesses afloat. But we just made up more money.
Well, that's, we can do that. You know, that's the thing. There's these artificial limits that Congress is playing with. Go read something by Stephanie Kelton. You should interview her. She wrote The Deficit Myth. Right. Learn about modern monetary theory. It'll blow your mind.
Well, it's all, I mean, and like savings accounts are bullshit. Like that's another thing too, is like it reaffirmed everything that anything that anybody had an inkling of that was genuine bullshit. The COVID exposed as, yes, it totally is. And in an emergency situation, everything you've been brought up, square peg, round hole shit, is false, you know, is a facade. And that's the biggest problem, I think, that people are having coming out of this too, is that so many people want to go back to quote unquote normal. And normal didn't work for a majority of the people. It did not work. It didn't work for immunodeficiency people.
Yep.
It didn't work for fucking people on food stamps. It sure as shit doesn't work for the people who were dubbed, you know, oh God, what do they call them? Essential workers.
Right.
Which, by the way, essential workers are going to wind up in the same position that first responders did during 9/11.
Yep.
Exactly. Nobody's been asking about the healthcare situation for the people who had to work, had to deliver food, had to be out during this pandemic with zero vaccinations.
Right.
Because people are having long COVID issues.
That's right.
That's going to be another issue.
You know who has long COVID? Tim Kaine.
Really?
Really?
Shit, I didn't know that.
No, but it's just starting to come out, but he's got long COVID and apparently it really sucks.
It absolutely does. I know a bunch of people who have long COVID, and it is a goddamn nightmare. But that's another thing too. We've now selected moving out of this the way everybody's kind of agreed that COVID's gone now, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, we haven't.
It's going away.
It is now.
But what we've really done is, as a society, gone, okay, so old people are still susceptible. We don't really care that much about old people. Immunodeficiency people, we don't really care much about them either. And that, like, we've actually selected groups we could give a fuck less about getting COVID and dying because we want to go to this restaurant that we saw on 9th. That we really love to go to. And honestly, my wife and I are tired of wearing masks. You know,
right.
That's the state we're in.
I know.
The craziest thing is, and no one's going to like this, but I'm going to do it anyway, is that this is a country who gets triggered by the craziest fucking shit. And we have constant trauma police where you can't say this, you can't do that. But every year on September 11th, we crank out trauma porn on the go 24/7. For 3,000 people that unfortunately died in that tower, it was absolutely awful. But there's 960,000 people that have died from
COVID.
From a preventable something. Yes. Also, that's it. We spend a shit ton of time talking about how preventable 9/11 could have been if people had made the right choices and done the right thing. COVID was even easier to dispel,
right,
to get rid of, to do the right thing. And nobody wanted to do it either. And you expect me to believe that people, you know, you want me to drag out the hashtag never forget shit once a year, you know? And it's only a matter of time before they wind up doing mattress sales to it. So, you know, I mean, like, who gives a fuck?
It's coming. No, nothing is taboo anymore. No. Nothing is off limits. Everything is crazy. And the world's going to come to an end soon. Just don't look up.
Looking forward to it.
John Pavromo. it was so nice to meet you. Thank you for
nice
coming on
you.
And playing along with me. I know I can be out there sometimes. And today,
no, it was great.
It's like Friday after a fucked up week when a madman is bombing part of the world. And we're saying, well, we can't shoot back because that would make us a part of the war. And the madman might use nukes. And somehow, if we don't engage in the shooting part of the war, then he won't use nukes? Really?
Yeah.
Who's the stupid one now?
I know. It's ridiculous. So, also, can I say real quick before we go,
yes,
please go to dystopiatonight.com and also subscribe on twitch.tv/dystopiatonight. We do live episodes. We've got Jimmy Vivino on tonight at 8:30. Cannot wait. We got some past episodes that have just been posted with Al Petrelli, Dave Thomas, Little Steven has also been on.
Little Steven was just here last week.
Oh, nice.
We spent a great hour together.
He's a great guy.
He really is. Yep, you're from Jersey.
Smart.
You're Asbury Park area, yes?
I'm in LBI, but I hung out at Asbury Park a lot. I did the Band Aid Festival that they just had recently, and I was hanging out with Jay Clemens the other night there. Just, I love the Stone Pony. Great stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, big Bruce fan, so hey, we got
Hell
that in common. John, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And hopefully, you know, one of these days, things will get back to normal. No, they won't. Never mind. It's never going to get back to normal. This is it. This is our life. Enjoy it or not.
Yes, yeah, right? I agree.
Okay.
Enjoy it or not.
All right. So I'll see you. I'll see you around.
I'll see you around. Great, great meeting you. Thank you so much.
You
great
too.
Talk.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So with that, and we've got the echo of the thing. I'm sorry. Today has just been a weird day, and it got weird. Just no Jimmy Tour. No, you got that right. He was a good guy. I liked him, right? Okay. See, sometimes you take a chance. I just knew I wanted to end the week with a bit of absurdity because this week has been so fucked up. So hopefully you got a giggle or two out of it, right? And you can unplug and enjoy the weekend. Don't watch the new West Side Story. Do yourself a favor. If you're in the mood for I Feel Pretty or, you know, West Side Story, then get the original and you can thank me later. And watch the movie Coda on one of the streamers because it's really good. All right. With that, I'm going. I will leave you with the news. I will see you next week. Tom Hartman's here Monday. He's got a new book out. Go figure. That never happens. All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We begin today with more bad news. The Russian assault on Ukraine expanded Friday with reports of new attacks in western parts of the country, in Lutsk and Ivano-Frankivsk. Listeners of the Nicole Sandler Show know that I've been in constant contact with a woman named Tatiana. She's the owner of the top-rated hostel in Kyiv, who escaped the city last week and had been staying in a crowded apartment in what she described as a tiny remote village. I had asked her to show me on a map her location, so when I awoke this morning, I realized that this new Russian attack was in that same area. And my fears were realized when she replied to my worried inquiry, saying, quote, "Yes, we had an air raid alert today, 1 hour and 30 minutes. We are now moving to the city." At the same time, satellite imagery indicates that the Russian convoy outside of Kyiv is maneuvering in possible preparation for a new push against the capital. And the Putin regime is calling for foreign fighters to join them in the war zone and the relentless attacks on cities, including Mariupol, the site of the maternity hospital that was bombed, continue. The mayor describing the situation there as Armageddon. The United Nations Human Rights Office said Friday that it has received credible reports of Russia using cluster bombs in cities, including Kharkiv, which could constitute war crimes. Almost 2.5 million refugees have now fled Ukraine since February 24th, according to the United Nations. More than 80,000 civilians left urban areas under Russian siege over the past 2 days alone. Meanwhile, Putin's propaganda offensive continues. The UN Security Council will meet today, Friday, at Russia's request to discuss its allegations that Washington is carrying out, quote, military biological activities in Ukrainian territory. The White House has denied the Russian allegations and accused Moscow of planning a possible false flag attack. And reports of some progressive members of Congress falling for the fake narrative are quite disconcerting. As Russia's invasion of Ukraine now enters its third week, the UN Human Rights Office is reporting that 516 civilians have been killed, including 37 children. A senior U.S. military officer said as many as 4,000 Russian troops have also died. And this breaking Friday morning, the Iran nuclear talks have been indefinitely suspended after Moscow objected to participating while subject to new sanctions imposed after its invasion of Ukraine. Negotiators say a deal had been imminent. Here at home, the Senate on Thursday night passed a $1.5 trillion spending bill that will keep the federal government funded through September and avert a partial shutdown ahead of a deadline looming today. The bill, which now goes to President Biden for his signature, does include $14 billion in humanitarian, military, and economic aid for Ukraine as it tries to defend itself against this Russian invasion. The approval of this package marked an end to a string of short-term fixes that Congress has used to keep the government agencies running since the new fiscal year began in October. Republicans touted the bill's 6% increase in defense spending. Democrats called it a win, noting that it included a 7% increase for health, education, and other non-defense spending. And, oh yes, it did reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act. But there's lots of bad news out there. Prices rose faster last month and were up 7.9% compared with last year, especially for food, electricity, and housing. And those numbers don't yet factor in the full cost of the war in Ukraine, which is expected to push costs even higher. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said Americans should prepare for a year of, quote, uncomfortably high inflation and surging gas and commodity prices linked in part to the war. Well, Friday, today, marks 2 years since the World Health Organization declared the COVID-19 outbreak a pandemic. Since then, official reports through the end of 2021 show that 6 million people worldwide have died directly due to COVID-19. Researchers estimate in a new study that the global pandemic death toll is actually 3 times higher than that. Some of this excess mortality may have been missed in official counts due to the lack of diagnostic or reporting resources. As for masking, most counties across the U.S. have rolled back requirements or lifted mandates. Only 2% of Americans, that's about 7 million people, live in a county where the CDC still recommends universal indoor masking. And finally, play ball. Major League Baseball reached a tentative collective bargaining agreement with the MLB Players Association after a 99-day lockout. This ends baseball's second longest work stoppage and will make it possible to open spring training camps this Sunday and hold a full 162-game season beginning April 7th. Play ball indeed.
What you can do. Hey, me
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.
Ball game.